Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Comic Wonk Podcast. I'm Phil Champion.
And I'm Justin Horn.
Hey, Justin. We are back here after a brief hiatus. You know, life kind of popped up. Things get in the way. But we're back here now. We're going to get some great content out to you guys starting with this episode. Before we kind of talk about the topic today, Justin, just want to do some really brief standard housekeeping.
Sounds good.
If you want to get feedback to us, the email is thecomicwonk@gmail.com. The Twitter handle for us is @thecomicwonk. And of course, if you want to support us with your hard-earned monies, the website is patreon.com/thecomicwonk.
I'm catching a theme.
Yeah, right, that Comic Wonk thing, which we'll get into it later maybe, but we should think about changing the name. I don't know. It's a throwback to the old blog I try to get off the ground. I think we need something for us.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, Philip? Throw it out to me.
Now, see, this is not actually a suggestion for what the name should be, but viewers, please, maybe, listeners, if they have any suggestions, we'd love to hear them. We're open to that, I think. I don't know, Phil, would you be open to hearing suggestions?
I would definitely be open to it. I just, you hit me as if you had an idea, and now you're someone else do the work.
Yeah, it's totally not my idea.
Okay, well, just as long as we can confirm that.
The idea is to put the work on someone else.
Okay, you know what? I cannot disagree with that. Otherwise, it'll probably just end up being something I have to do.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Good. Well, okay. If you are listeners looking for something else that you can do on that Patreon when you become a supporter, you can help make suggestions for the monthly License to Read feature we have going on, where we break down a different intellectual property's adaptation to comics and kind of analyze how it stands up both as a comic and as just an iteration of that intellectual property.
That's cool. It's a good idea.
So, yeah, just if you're interested, definitely send ideas to the email address. And if you are a patron, you get that access to make suggestions that we have to abide by. We are at your whim. So let's get into the topic a little bit, Justin. We have, for our listeners this week, an interview with your daughter, actually, Penelope.
Yes.
And you've had a chance now to listen to that interview.
Yes.
What did you think?
I loved it.
Yeah?
I enjoyed listening to you guys do it. Obviously, I'm a little biased here, probably.
Yeah, for the both you know, it's your daughter, I guess.
I mean, I like both of you guys. And I don't know. I would say that I loved it. I thought it was really insightful. Sometimes I learn things from her just listening to her and kind of...
Got a cat in the background. Yeah, you'll have to excuse that.
He's climbing.
Right.
But no, I really enjoyed listening to her and listening to you talk. I always do. I find you guys both really insightful. And
yeah, we're super smart.
I think so. But it's interesting to me because I think we're pretty similar, but not exactly similar. And the dialogue that you and her have is always interesting to me in general. But to listen to her kind of go on something long form with you, talk about something that you really enjoy, that she really enjoys, and where that comes from and what that stems from her, it was interesting because it doesn't stem from me. That's for sure.
Right.
And you guys kind of have a mutual enjoyment of this thing. So it was like listening to two people who actually really do enjoy it, kind of talking about the ins and outs of it. Obviously, she's a little younger, so she's still grasping some concepts, but I was impressed by what she had to say sometimes.
Very much so.
I was kind of shocked. But yeah, I really liked it.
And has she had a chance to listen to it as well?
Oh, yeah. Soon as I told her about it, yeah, she went out there and listened to it.
All right, perfect. Yeah, so I don't think we're going to take too much time because it ran a good amount of time. We've, like Justin said, we're both passionate, so we both got into some ins and outs and talking about different series. So I think we're just going to take a quick break here, and then after the musical interlude, you should be hearing that interview with Penelope. Hey, everybody, we have a special treat for our listeners this week. So last week, we sat down with Justin. We spoke about things he likes in all media, like things outside of comics, and kind of led into some recommendations for him. We actually have someone else this week who, after hearing a little bit about the pod, said, hey, you know, I would like to take part in that, too. We have Penelope. She goes by Bean. Could you introduce yourself, Penelope? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Penelope, or you could call me Bean. I'm in fourth grade, and I started reading comics when I was about in kindergarten.
See, and this is perfect, Penelope, because one of the reasons me and your dad, for our listeners, Penelope is Justin's daughter, We spoke last week about what it is I want to get out of this podcast, and it's having just more people read comics. But you're someone who, you're fairly young, you're in fourth grade, started reading in, what was it, kindergarten, did you say?
About kindergarten.
About kindergarten. Yep. So you're just now reaching that point where you can kind of say, hey, you know, for most of my life, I've been reading. And you've been reading comic books through that. Like, you're the exact kind of person who I would want the future to look like. I want people to just be like, hey, comics are pretty cool. Because when I was growing up, comics were very nerdy.
And dorky.
Yeah. And not necessarily the cool thing. And we're kind of moving past that as a society. And getting into... we're reaching a point where people are interested in comics, but they might not necessarily know where to start or where to go. So I wanted to speak with you, too, because it is a brilliant idea. Why not get not just the perspective of someone who, like your dad, hasn't read comics and he's an adult. Let's get someone who does read comics and they're a kid, someone who is ingesting this kind of content. So before we go into comics, I wanted to ask you first about other TV shows, movies, things that you've enjoyed in the past and what it is you think that stands out to you that you liked about them.
Okay.
I might even just prompt you. What do you think your favorite TV shows are?
My favorite TV shows, I love Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers is great.
Simpsons, even though I'm in fourth grade, it's 2021 right now, but still love Simpsons. Love the old seasons. It's crazy now that they have, like, phones. That just still makes me, like...
Doesn't it? It blows my mind.
It's like, wait, Bart just pulled out a cell phone? What's going on? What happened? Right. I'm trying to think here. I love all sorts of different shows.
It sounds like, if I could guess just based on those big two, a lot of cartoons, maybe?
I love cartoons, yeah.
I love cartoons.
And anything that I find funny... I will watch. If I find something funny, I'm going to watch it. Whether it's, like, baking or whether it's, like, cartoons, I love watching it. Like, Nailed It, oh,
yeah,
love Nailed It.
A lot of those baking shows, they get a good amount of humor still out of something that can be looked at as kind of boring. They can make really funny.
And I specifically love Nailed It because they're not like professional bakers because it's like they pull out people that actually have like a normal job, like not a cook or anything. They usually just home bake. And yeah, so that's what I love about Nailed It.
So kind of fun when you can see yourself in that situation. You might want something that...
Yeah.
Yeah, that you could see in everyday, bro. Okay, good. How about maybe movies? There's a particular movie I'm thinking of that I know you've liked for a long time that I've never seen. Do you know what I'm thinking of?
Coraline.
Tell me about Coraline and what it is you like about that.
I love Coraline because it's spooky, but it's not quite scary. It's like a good Halloween movie. You can watch it during the night for a little spook or during the day just for a good adventure story. And, I just love it. I just love it. And I've loved it for a long time. And, I just love Caroline. I almost call her Caroline. But
that, like, not too scary, but something with, like, a flavor.
A spook.
Yeah, a spook. Yeah. You say a spook, like, a of spook. Course, it's just a spook.
It's a spook.
Yeah,
it's not like we're watching it, and then I'm like one time I was watching it, and I was in the shower after that, and it was nighttime, and then a bottle of, like, shampoo or something fell, and I literally screamed.
Yeah, right.
I went, huh!
You don't want to be traumatized by this.
Yeah.
You just want something that's kind of fun, and go, oh, that's a little creepy, maybe, a little weird.
And it's mixed with an adventure story, which I really love about that. And, you know, it's an old book. You can read the book. It's not a comic book. There is a comic book. And there's a movie. And there's all sorts of different kinds of good content in there. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of different things. There's weird stuff. And there's fancy stuff. There's all sorts of things.
Got you. Well, and that, it kind of made me think of something that was a big hit in your guys' household, and it's even extended to mine. Me and Molly love this show now, is Over the Garden Wall. I think has a lot of interesting examples mm-hmm. of the spook that, I'm sorry, spook. Listeners, my belly might be rumbling if you can pick that up, I'm so sorry. But it has something of that spook factor in a couple of the episodes anyway,
mm-hmm.
where you, things might feel a little off-putting, but it's more whimsical, it's more like fun, it's pointing out mm-hmm. kind of the weirdness of these things, rather than trying to get that fear inspired in you. So I think yeah. that's something, if you don't mind me speaking for you, that's something that I know you've enjoyed a lot, right?
Yeah. Over the garden wall. Love it.
What, I think adventure is something you brought up before.
Adventure. Do you think that's a part of it? I love spooky adventures. Spooky.
Spooky adventures.
Spooky adventures. Best kind of adventures.
And love do it. You prefer something that continues, has new installments over time? Or do you want something that's just like one story, it's told, and it's done? Do you know if you have a preference?
It depends on the story. Like, especially with TV shows, I want like second installments, I want extra stuff instead of just like all at one time, which is why I like it when it comes out in little like seasons, or if it comes out in just like episode by episode instead mm-hmm. of just like one season, big thing, long episodes. And a fun fact here, the reason why people are afraid of clowns, which this led me to it, and it all dragged in with the spookiness, and the reason people are afraid of clowns is because of the face looks different, and so it's kind of like it's just different because like they put on the red nose and they get the fight. They get the white face paint. I connected white and face.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just, like, they paint their face, and then, yeah. And so that's why people are, it just settles them off, and they don't like that. And that's kind of what spook is, you know? It's not quite, like, scary. Like, scary is, like, when it gets to the point where it's, like, blood and gore. Spook mm-hmm. is, like, just, like, a little weird adventure there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. And, yeah.
How about, I'm trying to think of other series, other TV shows. Anything else that's really sticking out to you as a favorite?
Stranger Things. I love Stranger Things.
Okay, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
What is it that you think you like about Stranger Things?
I love the spook and their friendship. I like that, you know, Max at first wasn't accepted. Mike really did not like Max. He was like, you're not allowed in the group, and even though you know about this, you're not part of the group. And then they started to hang out, and it's really all about friendship instead of the spookiness, and I love that. It's just really fun.
I think that is very astute of you, Bean, is that, yeah, a lot of these situations, when they're done well, you really care less about the weird supernatural thing and more about the character at the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were kind of saying with the top it, what's the regular every person thing that's going on here that I can identify with and mm-hmm. kind of get something out of?
Yeah.
So I think that's a good, a nice rounded discussion mm-hmm. on other media.
I have
else.
A little yeah. extra add-on. Yeah, it makes me feel nostalgic for a time that I was never alive in, the 80s. Mm. And it's just fun to see what it was like back then. And I like guessing what's going to happen next, or, you know, I just love it. I love it.
Yeah. That's interesting. The 80s? Really? Why the 80s, Bean? No. 90s is where it was at.
It's not a 90s TV show, yeah, but though.
That doesn't... the 80s is all right. Okay.
You were barely alive in the 80s.
Reminiscing about the 80s is all right. All of it's okay, but it's not the 90s. It just wasn't the 90s. So let's hop into, how about comics? Let's discuss, do you remember what comics you read first? Or I guess before I even talk about what you've read, when I say comics or comic books,
mm-hmm.
what comes to mind for you? What do you think?
When I think of comic books, I usually think of, like, different storylines. I think of how it can be anything but related. It can be, like, there's something spooky and there's something, like, cutesy and fun, and they're all related to each other in this one way, and I just find that really fun.
So I guess let me ask it this way, that when I say comic books, you don't think of, like, certain storylines as being...
No.
Penelope, that alone, I can't tell you how happy that makes me to think that another generation of kids is learning and reading about comic books, and they don't just think superheroes. Because, again, not just when I was growing up, comics weren't as popular. They were that nerdy kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. I think a big reason for that is people just thought, oh, those are the superhero books where people punch each other. Yeah, that's all that happens in comics.
It's one thing, and that's very nerdy. That's not it. It's a whole bunch of things that are connected together, and it's really fun. When I first read a comic book, I was thinking, oh, all of the stories are going to be like this, aren't they? And then I started reading other comic books, and I was like, oh, okay, I really like comic books. And then I started reading different kinds. Different kinds. And it was really fun to just have different storylines, but to have them all connected in some sort of way.
Good. All right. And that, I can't tell you what a relief it is to hear that people who, there are more and more publishers, we kind of mentioned off mic, there are more and more Scholastic. Mm-hmm. I think Penguin is doing certain young adult, or there are a couple of bigger publishers that traditionally haven't liked printing comic books. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of changed these last five to 10 years.
It was found nerdy and uncool. Well, and also not good for the brand, because it's not.
You're hitting something there. Academically, it was thought of as lowbrow. Like, it's a lesser form of reading. Mm-hmm. When it's just not the same as reading. Just like it's not the same as watching a movie, even though you're seeing images one after another, just like a movie film shows you all these images. It's something different. It works different parts of your brain than reading or watching TV or movies would do. Mm-hmm. And I think
it's like, it's different than, like, just a everyday chapter book, and it's different than a picture book. It's like, you know, chapter books, sorry for interrupting you here.
No, you're fine.
But sometimes I just have to spit it out or I lose it. It's like chapter books. They just have words, and that's okay. And it's a different type of reading, and it's still fun. But chapter books bring in different things, and they bring in, like, processing different things in your brain. You process the words to match the pictures. And it makes me learn to be more patient with it, actually, because, like, you're going to want to look over on that next page and see what's happening, but you're also going to want to read what's happening right now.
So you actually know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it pulls in chapter books and picture books, and it puts them together, and it's like, most picture books are found childish, which I don't understand that. But they made it so that chapter books and picture books, they combined them and they kind of put it into one story and one, like, format of reading.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because it activates that different part of your brain, people just thought, well, it's not good enough. It doesn't do everything that reading does, so reading comics instead of the written word is bad. When really you should just look at it as they do different things. They activate different parts of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You fill in more blanks with reading. You're forced to use so much more of your imagination with reading that I believe it's incredibly beneficial. Everyone should be reading text in the written word. That's there's no question to it. I don't know why teachers weren't okay with supplementing other parts of their curriculum with comic books. I don't know why that wasn't more. Mm-hmm. Then on that note, let me ask you this. Do your teachers, do they let you read comics for reading assignments, or do they ever assign them? I guess I'm curious.
Right now, we don't really have reading assignments or anything like that, but I'm in fourth grade, and so still pretty young, but we have, like, a free reading time, and we can read graphic novels or comic books and stuff like that, and they don't care what we read as long as we're actually reading. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess if you bring in, like, an ABC book and you bring out that and read that, they would probably be like, okay, let's read something else, but...
But as long as you're challenging yourself, uh-huh. And, yeah. How about in the library? Are there books, like comics, that you can check out?
Yeah, there's Garfield's and Babysitter's Club's. Nice. Yeah, like, my librarian, she's very nice, and she's, like, she brings in all sorts of different kind of reading. She believes that if you're reading, you are working with your brain, and you are using your brain to do something that you enjoy, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we should say, I also don't think that watching television or watching movies is bad for your brain. It's working in a different way. And yeah. There might be arguments to be made that you're using less of your brain when you're watching movies or television. I would argue that that is a matter of whether or not the show or the movie is good enough to make me think.
Yeah.
I can be thinking a whole lot watching certain episodes of certain shows and other episodes. Like, I'm not thinking a whole lot when I'm watching maybe what was the baking show? Nailed It. Yeah. I'm more just kind of having fun, and I'm kind of relaxing, and maybe a little mm-hmm. bit of my brain is kind of thinking what I would do if I'm in that situation.
Your brain is using creativity. Mm-hmm. It's thinking about, oh, what would I do if I was in this situation? Or, I know when I used to watch movies when I was like younger, like second grade, I used to like especially with like superhero movies, or I would be like, oh, yeah, fun. Now I want to fight people. And so I would pretend I was, like, a superhero. Mm-hmm. And in that, it was, like, I was using my brain, and I was thinking creatively and doing stuff like that. And that's why I like writing. I like writing because it's, like, writing is just using your imagination and putting it down on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. But people don't find writing childish, but if you're going and you're doing creatively and imagination, they're like, you're being childish, but when you're writing, you're using your imagination and you're putting it onto a piece of paper. It's just coming out a
different way, right. Cartoons, we both said that we enjoy. That's something, as you get older, you'll realize people say, oh, that's childish. Like, the form doesn't...
There are adult cartoons.
Right. There are plenty... What form this media takes isn't what tells you whether or not it's for children or not. It's mm-hmm. the content that does that. Mm-hmm. And I, for whatever reason, we still need to get that clear for some people. And that's hopefully something we can do through this podcast.
And, can I... Yeah. People aren't... It's not that they're childish. It's you're thinking of the wrong thing. You're not, like, especially if you have children or you're a teacher, you're thinking of these certain types of cartoons instead of, like, cartoons for adults or mm-hmm. teenagers instead of cartoons for, like, children. 'Cause there are cartoons for children, but I know... me and my dad and my mom, and my cousin and my aunt, we all love, The Amazing World of Gumball, and that's a great show, and many people would find that childish, and, you know, I do kind of, like, agree that it is kind of childish. It's not, but it's supposed to be childish.
There's a place for that.
Yes, there's a place to be childish, and then there's when it is childish and it's not supposed to be. That's just considered not a very good cartoon. Mm. Or yeah. So
Yeah, I kind of unrelated note, and I don't even know if I'll put this in, but it makes me think of, this is going to be really kind of a stupid example to throw out. Did you ever see the latest Superman movie, Man of Steel?
No, I don't think so.
I think a lot of whatever executives were in charge of making that movie were afraid of Superman being too boring and too childish, because he's just pure good guy. You know, they call him the Big Blue Boy Scout or whatever. Like, they have stupid names for how Superman's just kind of the boring, all-around good guy. So they made him, like, edgy and rough and like, oh, what am I doing in this world? And, like, the more they tried to grow him up, the more it seemed like
a child's view
of what adults do. Like, it seemed more childish the more they tried to purposefully adult something.
Uh-huh.
So I think just letting something be whatever it is.
Yes. If it starts off like that, you should keep it like that.
Yeah, right.
That, like, Batman. He always started off kind of, like, rough and tough and,
Right.
But
you can't make everyone Batman.
Yeah, you can't make everybody Batman. Not everybody is so rough and tough.
You are every DC fan yelling at WB executives and AT&T executives right now. I'm sorry. So let's transition into, you have a couple comic books here that you've read that you're going to lend to me, right?
Oh, yes. Just a couple.
Yeah, right, just a few. Do you mind giving me just even a rundown of, because I know a couple of them are in the same series. Okay. So you wouldn't have to describe each book, but just kind of like, you know, Babysitter's Club together, or what is it, the bad guys together, or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I have these Babysitter's Club books, and they started off as a normal chapter book, and I have a remastered one right here. I don't know if they still produce the old ones anymore. I don't think they do, but... it's pretty much the same stories, but, just in a different format. And I have read some of the old ones, and they are good. They're good. Yeah. I mean, they're remastered, but they're also...
But they're the same they're the stories, same right?
Stories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so moving on from that, they started making the Babysitter's Club, graphic novels. Mm-hmm. And... they're not something that you really have to, like, start off with a certain book. It's really a book where, like, if you read the book, you'll catch on, and then if you read the book after that, you'll catch on, and you'll, when you read the books before that, you'll catch on to everything.
If you like it enough, it'll go.
Yeah.
But and I could read any of those, like, I could just... pick up number 5 or whatever?
You could, yeah, and after, at first it'll be kind of confusing, but sometimes in movies, it'll be kind of confusing at first, because you don't know what's going on. It's like when you see a movie with someone that's seen that movie before, but you haven't, and so you're just like, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I didn't know either.
So
you're just
going
to have to wait.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you pick up a book like that, like, that's what's going to happen. And, but it's especially fun when you read the books before that or after that, and then you figure out what happened, and it's like it clicks in your brain, and you're like, fun. And
what a lot of people liked about superhero books. You know, they could pick up issue 225 or whatever, and they'd pick up little bits here and there, and if they were interested, they would be rewarded by going back and learning more.
Yeah. I have the Babysitter's Little Sister books. Oh, I love these. They're very, very new. I think they only have 2 or 3, maybe 5.
I really like the cartooning on that one, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. It's a different style.
Mm-hmm.
Still published by Graphics, but it's still like nice. A good little thing there.
What else we got?
And it's actually like the Babysitter's younger sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like from characters that we'll know from the other books. Yeah. How about our next book? What do we have there?
I've got a bad guys book. It's actually a series. I have 2 right here. I have
what's it? One, the bad guys? What is it?
An 8. Yeah, it's just called The Bad Guys, and it's, here's the little format. It's kind of a comic book format. Reminds me of a lot of, like, very graphic novel. It is a graphic novel.
Right.
But it has this little, these little characters, and it's just so fun. I love this book. It's hard to explain, and it's kind of very hard to explain without, like, giving away spoilers, but it's about these little characters that save the day, and it is the bad guys, which is weird, but it's these little characters that save the day, and they do different things in each book, and
I really like the art style on that isn't what you might expect from an all-ages book. I like it. Looks like it's all black and white.
Mm-hmm. It's black and white, yeah.
Doesn't look as quite, maybe cute. Like, it still looks cute, but it doesn't look as cute as you might see for a lot of kids' books. So that one looks really interesting to me. I like that.
Here's a page that describes what you were talking about. It's got a little pig riding a, I think that's a pig. I'm pretty sure that's a pig.
Looks like a pig to me.
We're talking about a pig, by the way. And like a bird wearing a little costume. Mm-hmm. But they're all like little different types of animals that save the day in this little book. Okay, and I love it. And it does have a storyline. And I would recommend going one to the last book. It's not that important that you need to, but it does kind of have that little, start with one, and then you can go through there.
Okay, so what do we have next up?
We have the I Survived, Titanic, and it used to be like, they all used to be chapter books, which there's nothing wrong with that. I love chapter books. I love all types of reading. It's all great. But I think I was in third or second grade, so that's kind of like a time you can tell from there. When they started coming out with these little graphic novel versions, and I love these because they're taking old stories, I guess they're not stories, but they're taking things that they've made before, and they're remastering it with the same story and different format, and I love it. So
yeah, I Survived, Titanic?
The Sinking of the Titanic, 1912.
1912, got you.
Yeah.
And that, I'm guessing then it's the I Survived as a series, it has other, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I like that.
Okay, so I have this Garfield book here, too. And
Garfield.
Oh, yeah. I love Garfield. It's pretty much just a bunch of comic strips and just one thing. And I just love Garfield. It's so fun.
You haven't listened to it yet, but in your father and I's discussion on, like, our backgrounds with history, I talked about Garfield. I used to cut out of the newspaper every day. So that I could make my own, essentially, collections of Garfield so I could read Garfield whenever I wanted. Love Garfield, love comic strips, and I love just cutting them out so I could collect them. So
That's crazy.
Right? I haven't read Garfield in years. I'm looking forward to that,
honestly. Because I used to, I mean, before COVID, Grandma and Grandpa would get these little, the newspapers, and I would cut out the comic strips, and I would make, like, my own newspaper with just a bunch of different comic strips, and, like, sometimes it would be, like, sports sections and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was really fun. But,
But, yeah, who doesn't know Garfield? No explanation necessary on that one. He's a cat who hates Mondays.
And loves lasagna.
Loves lasagna. What else do you need to know?
Yeah, nothing.
I'm really looking forward to that, because I haven't read Garfield in years.
Mm-hmm. I have other Garfield books, too. And the thing about this is, like, it never really changed when it got older, because it was a cat and its owner and a dog. And so you don't see the owner at, like, every minute of it. And you usually just see Garfield. And so it never really changed. It was always, like, the same feeling. And so that's why the new books and the old books, you can barely tell there's a difference. Hmm. And that's why I just really love Garfield.
Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we're going to be talking about some books for about younger people. Most of this was in about second grade. Mm-hmm. I have this Narwhal and Jelly book. And there's a, it's a whole thing, and it's for younger kids. Actually, I think this was even, like, younger for me when I was in second grade. But whatever, I liked it. I still read I still read picture books because I love it. I love pictures. But it's really fun. You can read it in one sitting. It's like, it's one that you're supposed to read in one sitting. You're supposed to read it all and then, mm-hmm. like, set it down and then, like, find it a week later and be like, oh, I forgot about this, and then read it again. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I really love this one. There's all different types of storylines in the different books.
That Narwhal looks adorable.
Oh, yeah.
Eating his
little... Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a cookie or a sandwich? It's cute.
That's a waffle.
It's a waffle.
Yeah, he loves waffles. Well, forgot about that.
I know Eleven does.
Don't bring that up. We're talking about Narwhal and Jelly.
And Jelly, okay. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Here we're going to bring up Catwad. I have all of them, but I have two with me now because I couldn't find the first one. I'm very mushy, but... It's a good book. It's like different comic strips in one book, and I love it. I love it. There's a goofy one, and then there's like the mad one who's always like grumpy all the time. It's like he didn't drink his coffee yet that morning. Mm-hmm. But he never drank his coffee.
Sounds like a classic comedy pairing. The free spirit, mm-hmm. and the grumpy guy.
Yeah. And so we have Catwad, the blue one, and Blarmp, the happy, joyful little guy, who is kind of like an orange ginger kind of cat. And, yeah, they're just, the best thing about this is that they have a great friendship, but they can still always get, like, mad at each other. But at the end of the day, they're still friends.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what I just love about this book.
It's really cute, okay.
It is. It's very cute. Okay, so earlier I was talking about my little Coraline comic book, which I just love it. I love it. But it's... basically the normal Coraline, except, you know, like, it's kind of more, like, realistic, is, I guess, how I would put it. Like, she doesn't have blue hair, you know, it's like, it's pretty much just, it's like normal Coraline, except, like, you know, it's like a normal person's life, and then she goes in, and she gets through the door, and then... you know, the evil mother. I'm sorry, that might have been a spoiler. You probably know that already, but yeah, it's kind of the storyline of the book. But I love this little Coraline book, and so if you have any extra questions, go ahead and ask me.
So it's not really a question necessarily, just mm-hmm. a comment that Neil Gaiman is yeah. really big in the comics world. He wrote a mm-hmm. comic called The Sandman.
Oh, yeah, Sandman.
Have you heard anything about Sandman?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What have you heard?
Well, he's like this super villain, and he's kind of just like...
you're thinking
I relate Spider-Man. Both of them to... Yeah, I relate him to that, and then the Sandman, and this...
There's yeah, a different Sandman.
Yeah, there's two Sandmans, yep, and it's hard to explain without taking in universes. The super... The right. suit. Yeah, yeah.
But he... Yeah. It's something that mm-hmm. was, through the 90s, recommended to people who didn't read a whole lot of comics.
Yeah.
And it actually inspired a whole lot of them to get into the medium. So I think it's interesting that Neil Gaiman would also be an influential part of you getting into comics here, or at least something that you... Did you watch the movie first before the comic?
I did, and that's why somebody gifted this to me, mm-hmm. and so they knew that I liked it very much, and so then they gave me this. And there is a chapter book one of this, too, that it was the chapter book, and then they based that off of the... And then they made the movie, and that was based off of the chapter book, and then this one is based off of the movie. Or the chapter book. Or the chapter book.
Got you.
Yeah. Kind of like a mix.
Yeah, because I believe it was Neil Gaiman who wrote the book initially, so it's just interesting to me that you... something that you're enjoying in the comics realm is an adaptation of something written word that you saw an adaptation... it's just interesting to see how mediums can really kind of overlap with that. And I've actually also never seen the movie, so I would be interested in doing both.
Mm-hmm. You could watch either one, or you could read the chapter book first. Either one
If I can get a hold of it, I'm going to try to read the book as well.
Yeah, I think it could be at the library.
I'm pretty sure it would be, yeah.
Or probably online somewhere. Mm-hmm. But... it's good because you can watch it all without there being like any, because they're all like different because they were all made at like different times, and this book is I think like very 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 fairly new, and the movie is kind of old, like 2008 2009 I think, maybe 2003, I don't know sometime around there. It was 2000 something. But, yeah, and so I love this little Coraline book.
I'm really looking forward to that. Like you said, it looks more realistic in the art style.
Mm-hmm.
Most certainly compared to the movie, but even compared to some of the other books that you've selected out for me to read.
Mm-hmm. If you're wondering what it looks like, audience, you can look up a picture. It's just... just look up, like, Coraline comic book, and it should show up.
Yeah, and it should show up there.
It's kind of realistic. Definitely. They took away, like, her blue hair and, just kind of made it realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Very realistic, actually.
And even all the, the scenery looks more detailed. There's more what they call line work, so more lines in those pictures.
It's like line shading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is supposed to be for young adults. I'm not a young adult, but it's not, like, inappropriate or, like, it's not like they're just dropping F-bombs or something. It's like, it's supposed to be pretty scary, actually. Like,
I just saw the movie. That is...
Don't read it. I don't read this at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks unsettling. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
It's very unsettling.
I'm looking forward to that. That is awesome.
Yeah. That's all I got
so that's today. For if you don't mind briefly touching on, could you hand me those two right there that you're going to read?
Mm-hmm.
And in return, Penelope, for these awesome recommendations, from the pile of books I brought for your father, there are a couple that have either caught your eye or that I personally would recommend for you. Mm-hmm. These first two that you said you wanted to read, In Search of Far Side.
Oh, I love Far Side.
Who doesn't love a good Far Side? Even if you've read every single one of these strips before, it's fun. It's kind of like that Narwhal book that you were saying. You just you find it 2 weeks later and you're like, oh yeah. And you read through them and you're like, they're funny all over again. Mm-hmm. Love Far Side. So good pick there. Love Far Side, This stood out to you, Andre the Giant?
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask why?
I like the styling for this little comic book.
You like the styling. Yes, very, I mentioned to your father, kind of simplistic cartooning.
Yeah, simple and kind of, cute.
Yep.
A
lot of expressions coming through here that you can feel what's going on just by little touches.
If you took away all the words, I would probably be able to figure out what's kind of going on.
I couldn't have said that better myself. Could you repeat that, Penelope?
Yeah. If you took away the words, I would pretty much be able to figure out what's going on.
If I had to sum up how you know a comic book is good or not, I don't want to go off a tangent. There's kind of a debate in comic fandom between writer and artist and what's the most important thing going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And spoiler alert, it's art. Because like you said, when a comic is done well, You don't even need to know the words that are coming out of their mouths. You can tell someone's angry. You can tell someone's fearful. You can tell someone's drunk, swinging at someone. You can tell what's going on with these, in these scenarios, just by looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
And Box Brown is the writer, author on this. Mm-hmm. He's exceptional at that.
Uh-huh.
There might be a adult scenario or two in here.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah,
I'll be fine.
You're a smart kid, and also your dad will probably read it first. I'm hoping anyway. If you could get your dad to read any of these,
yes, I will get him.
So that he can kind of edit and go, hey, you're going to want to skip this part, Bean.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's just stories about his both wrestling career and when he acted briefly, like on Princess Bride, things like that. But little anecdotes from his life, just little things that have happened to him. I think you would enjoy that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I do like that you pointed out Box Brown is great art, great simple cartooning.
Yes, I love the cartooning in that. Mm-hmm. And going back to how they're all connected in some way, I'm going to talk about Coraline real quick again. Mm-hmm. You can tell what's going on in this book. Like, you can tell from her expressions and just the pictures, like, that's going on. She's very, she's either, like, very, she has no expression at all, which she's probably very, very shocked, or,
That page with the, I believe that was the mom with the eyes, I can tell everything that's going, you know,
other
I can.
Mother, you can call her the other mother.
Oh, the other mother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that scene with whatever character it was, but you could see everything that was being conveyed to you just through the pictures alone.
Yeah.
It helps. It ever you're going to want that dialogue there, obviously. They're saying quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But a great comic, you could read through, not read a lick of the lines, and get a good impression of what that story was,
You can skim through this, and that's what I like about comic books. You can skim through it and decide if you want this book. Like, you don't have to read it very much. You can, like, you can see the art styling. You can see what's going on in the book.
Yeah, is this going to be interesting to me?
Yes.
Right, just through a skim, like, just the glance,
like,
of the
eye. Maybe you didn't think it was spooky, and then you go through it, but you don't go through it, and then you bring it home, and it's spooky.
Like,
and so then you're like, maybe I shouldn't have bought this.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Then the last one, that this was actually something your father had already read,
mm-hmm.
but I would recommend, if you haven't, to read this. It is mm-hmm. March Book 1.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the story of John Lewis was a former senator. He was in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He was a part of the civil rights movement. And he partnered up with a cartoonist to help him. This is an autobiographical comic. So these are all his real experiences through life.
Cool.
All in black and white. More towards the realistic side of things than the cartooning side of things. But obviously it's not photorealistic. It's just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The events that happened to him. More adult-ish content, but very important nonetheless. They're talking about the civil rights and race, the history of racism through America, or at least through this portion of America's history.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would get a lot out of this, both as a comic book and just as like a history lesson.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I would recommend to you is March Book 1.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to take a small break there. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about drawing, illustrations in general, and I guess comic book audiences. So come back with us there. And kind of for our last segment here, we had a couple subjects we wanted to talk about. First, drawing and illustration.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you're drawing a bit more, Penelope, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it that you're liking about taking the time out and drawing your own pictures?
At first, it was really just, like, when I started off, it was me watching a lot of art channels and stuff like that, and it was, I just got inspired by that, and, I love Mariah Elizabeth. If you're watching this, Mariah... Cause if you're listening to this, cause if we get big at some point, you could be listening to this. Hi. But, yeah, if you haven't seen her, she's great. She does a lot of art, and a lot of art that is simple and that you could put into a comic book. She's never really done a comic book or stuff like that, but she does a lot of cutesy art styles, and, you know, I just love her, and so that's where I really got inspired to start doing more art. And so then I just started drawing, and, you know, I just got inspiration, and I liked changing things that I didn't like on certain things that, like, inspo, I would take the inspiration, and then I would put it down, and then I would, like, take things that I didn't like, and then I would put in something different, and that's how I really got started drawing, and then it started, like, Mariah Elizabeth came out with this book, sorry, a lot of talk about it, Mariah, but, she came out with this book, and it was art prompts, and so you would open up the book, and it was like she would give you something that you could do, and then you would do it, and then so that's how I started making my own ideas and getting inspired to make my own ideas, and after that I started just like getting into realistic drawing, because I started getting into like colored pencils and blending them. I really love blending colors. And so that's how I got started drawing. And then I just kept on drawing and drawing, and then it just got better and better. And I have this little comic sketchbook. I haven't done much in this comic sketchbook, but I do like just normal comics in my normal notebooks. And, that's how I got started on drawing comics. But I just love drawing comics.
Yeah. And drawing in general, it feels like, even if it isn't, like, several panels, even if it's just one big picture, it seems like you're just getting more into drawing, illustration. That's good. We don't, as a society, we don't value artists enough, I don't feel.
Yeah.
But we are, at least, there are more and more avenues like web comics, or like people do a lot of Kickstarters for their own comics now. So if that is something that you are interested in, go after that, kid. I'm telling you, there are more and more avenues that you can express yourself using actual illustrated art. So it's good to hear that that's something that's at least of an interest to you, if not a passion later on. Then how about, I know we wanted to touch a little bit on comic book audiences. I know something you had mentioned unprompted earlier. If you don't mind kind of mentioning that to me, what your thoughts were on the audience of comics.
Okay, so like back in the day, if you were reading comic books, you were probably very nerdy and you were probably a boy. And because they were marketed to boys, because if you were reading comic books, you're not a girl, because girls are sophisticated and all pretty, and it's not like that. It's like, and now I like it because they started making books to, like, they started making books that aren't marketed towards anybody, just marketed towards people that like comic books. Marketed to girls, marketed to boys, marketed to adults, marketed to teenagers, marketed to kids, anything. So I just like that because the range of audience got a lot bigger.
And I can tell you, like, I don't want to inflate your ego here, Penelope, but you're smarter than the average kid. Not a whole lot of kids in the fourth grade are thinking or talking about how products are marketed to people. But having that understanding is really important. Knowing that there has been a progress of how comics were at one point marketed to people and how that has changed over time is important. There was even a time, briefly after World War II, where comics were popular with everybody. They were popular with adults, teenagers, little kids, boys, girls, men, women. It didn't matter. It wasn't until certain things happened in the industry that they kind of were shunted off, and the only things that survived were superhero books and funny animal books. Funny, like what people think mm-hmm. of as kids' books, little kid cartoony things. So that's kind of where, over the decades, it led to this idea that, well, the only people who read comics are little kids and boys that want to be little kids still.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just good to hear that that's changing, that that's yeah. no longer... Does it feel like that in, like, your classroom? Does it feel like both boys and girls? Like, is there any kind of impression that you get from boys of, like, a man, why are girls reading comics? Or
no, not at all.
Is it no. Does it, like, even occur to kids? Like, I'm trying to understand what it would be like to be a kid in this day and age and read comics. Is it pretty wide open then? Do people just think of comics as... The ones with pictures
comics,
and words.
Books. They just think of it as a different kind of book. Hmm. Just comics, it's a book with pictures. And it's like pictures and words. That's what I think most people think about it.
Yeah, it's not a certain kind of story, and it's not for a certain kind of reader. It's mm-mm. just pictures and words.
Pictures and words.
That is a
creative
good
pictures and words.
Perfect. That is a good place, I think, to kind of leave us off for this segment of the episode. Mm-hmm. Anything you wanted to let the listeners know, any expectation? It's probably going to be about 3 weeks or so before we meet up again and talk over all of our books here, at least from the listener's point of view. It'll be about 3 weeks. So anything you want to leave them with to think over from now and then, or anything that you're going to be thinking over when you read any of the comics, anything like that?
For the audience, if you think that you like any of these books, check online reviews, you know, check, like, the pages. And I think if you're a part of the younger audience, I would recommend Bad Guys books and, like, Narwhal and Jelly. I don't think any of you are really that young, but...
Well, and some of our listeners might have children who are that young.
Yes.
Even if they aren't listening, mm-hmm. they're kids.
And, or maybe you just like children's books, which mm-hmm. is okay, that's fine. I do too. for about second grade, I would recommend Catwad and Garfield books. Actually, Garfield, you could read it whenever, but I really recommend for, like, second, third graders. And once you get a little older, I would go with, like, I Survived and, like, Babysitter's Club books. I love those. They're different levels of, like, comic books and, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and reader comprehension, too. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Also, if you're looking for anything to watch, Mariah Elizabeth, if you like art. Mm. I love her. Lots of good art, lots of good crafts. So
I like that too, because that's something I want to do with the podcast, is just get more exposure to either channels on YouTube or podcast shows that not enough people are listening to. If they want more that's similar, yeah, giving them that avenue is really good.
Mm.
Perfect. Well, then, yeah, thank you so much for taking the time, Bean, and talking with us today. And we'll meet back up with you in a couple weeks.
All right.
All right, thank you.